Every dungeon had something called minimum monster level. This depended on the quality and quantity of mana permeating through the air and ground. Monsters sprang forth naturally over time in such places, birthed from seemingly thin air by the abnormally high concentrations of magical energy. Denser mana would naturally give birth to more powerful monsters. For example, the dungeon known as the Staircase to Heaven was home to vicious creatures that would give even level 100 adventurers a run for their money. The air on that mountain was so thick with mana that it was outright lethal. If anyone or anything under level 70 tried to challenge it, they would choke and drown as if they were underwater. However, that mystical substance did more than simply give birth to monsters of a certain level. It also sustained its children, allowing them to ignore basic needs such as food, water, or, in some extreme cases, sleep. And these creatures would inevitably grow in strength as they repelled invaders. If they became too powerful, their home would no longer be able to sustain them, and they would have to either leave the dungeon or starve to death. That was what dictated the maximum monster level of a dungeon. And this was exactly what was happening to this particular mimic. Although it had been born as a measly level 1, it had grown to level 15. The green zone of the Litigar dungeon complex had a maximum monster level of 6, meaning this particular individual had long ago outgrown its home. Its dormant state and steady supply of blood and meat had staved off its hunger so far, but something had changed. The meals on legs stopped coming entirely, and the mimic's exploration soon revealed the answer as to why.
"Ha!"
it cursed. Part of the dungeon was sealed off. Vertical and horizontal steel bars were welded to create a formidable grate. It blocked off the 2-meter-tall circular tunnel, cutting off any and all foot traffic through the passage. After Valyria's mysterious disappearance, the nearby town simply decided to seal off the highly dangerous area and let nature take its course. Anything that could take down a level 20 adventurer was clearly over the maximum monster level and would just starve to death. Even something like eating its fellow monsters wouldn't save it. Their bodies would disappear into raw mana before they could be digested. Also, quarantine was ultimately cheaper than issuing a subjugation quest. So what if 20% of the green zone was sealed off? The newbies could still hunt leisurely in the remainder of the maze-like dungeon. The mimic knew very little about such circumstances, but it recognized this mass of metal as the source of its dilemma. Even it wasn't dense enough to fail to realize this abnormality and the sudden lack of prey were linked. The question was, what could it do about it? It desperately needed to get past it, so it tried several things. First, it tried pushing its body through the gaps in the grate. But they were too small. Although it could shapeshift, it was still a lesser mimic that couldn't abandon its chest-like body shape. Only something like a slime would be able to pass through these. Impossible things were impossible. So it gave up on that and decided to try brute force. It spat out a sword from its storage and gripped it with a red tentacle-like tongue. It swung its weapon repeatedly against the grate. The metal-on-metal impacts caused bell-like noises to reverberate through the cave while sparks pierced the darkness. But, as expected, the forged steel bars did not budge a single bit. If anything, it was the iron sword that was getting bent out of shape instead. After a while, it gave up. Wasting stamina like this was counterproductive. Ideally, it would just eat this obstacle, thus killing 2 goblins with 1 fireball. But since it couldn't even chew up the solid iron armor and weapons in its storage, something like forged and enchanted steel was way out of its league. It tossed the slightly chipped blade into the air and swallowed it back up, sending it to... Swallowed? The creature was suddenly struck by the first epiphany of its life. So far, it had opted to swallow whenever it encountered something it couldn't eat. The obstacle before it was something it couldn't eat. Therefore, why not try to swallow it instead? A special action has been performed. Wisdom plus 1. Now this was promising. The special action that made its wisdom attribute rise was undoubtedly that of getting a brilliant idea. Emboldened by this wild assumption, the mimic backed off from the grate, turned around, and opened its mouth. A swirling purple abyss appeared inside and started spewing out dozens of items, one after the other. It was about to swallow a circular mass of steel 2 meters in diameter, so it needed the extra room in its storage. By the time it was done, the mimic had created a pile of blood-stained metal almost as tall as it was. All that was left in its pocket dimension were 3 swords and a dagger. It faced the grate again and tipped forward on its spider-like legs. Opening its maw, it put both its lower and upper sets of teeth against the steel rods as if trying to bite them. It mustered up part of the MP it had remaining and opened a storage portal so that it overlapped with the metal bars. But try as it might, the swirling hole refused to grow larger than about 40 centimeters.
Ha!
It cursed again, while still clinging on to the infuriating metal rods. Being as dumb as it was, it failed to realize the obvious difference in size. Disappointed, it pulled itself away from the troublesome cage, causing the storage portal to abruptly collapse. And then a sharp pain permeated through the monster's entire being. The mimic hissed and screamed with a high-pitched howl as it thrashed about in agony. Every part of its rectangular faux wood frame convulsed violently, as if it was trying to rip itself apart. Your storage skill has backfired due to improper use. Your body suffers from the feedback. HP minus 100. Magic was not a toy. Improper use of it could carry dire, sometimes lethal, consequences. And something like ripping open a hole in reality was no exception. In fact, it was especially true for spatial manipulation magic invoked by the likes of the storage skill. What the mimic had unintentionally done just now was equivalent to trying to shut a door with its metaphorical foot in the way. If this sort of thing happened with more powerful spatial magic, such as the teleport or gate spells, there would have been very little left of the poor thing. It wasn't like this moron actually understood the basic principles of magic, though. It had simply accepted the storage portal opening inside its jaws as a thing that happens when I want it to. It panted. The mimic had collapsed next to the pile of discarded weapons and armor, still reeling from that unbearable moment of pain. The monster then felt anger wash over it. Why did this stupid hard thing have to be in its way? In a fit of rage, it stretched out its tongue and wrapped the tip around a small round shield resting on the pile of pilfered armaments. It flung the disc-like object at the steel bars with full force as if they were somehow responsible for its misfortune. The iron-reinforced wooden shield flew horizontally like a frisbee, crashing into the steel grating and falling to the ground, making an awful racket in the process. Then, a part of said grating slowly fell backwards, making a small clanging sound as it also hit the stone floor. The mimic was speechless. Not that it could actually speak properly in the first place. The newly made hole was just over 40 centimeters in diameter. The steel rods looked like someone had severed them with an extremely clean sword strike. In truth, the storage portal did actually remove some of the forged steel grating. The gateway's sudden collapse practically disintegrated a very small amount of matter around its edge, cutting through a portion of the metal rods. Since that one area of the blockade was technically no longer attached to the rest of it, it just needed a small jolt to tip over. Something that the mimic's rage-fueled shield throw inadvertently made possible. A special action has been performed. Luck plus one. If the mimic was aware of the concept of dumb luck, it might have been insulted at this message. Instead, it was simply happy at the sudden, albeit completely inexplicable, attribute gain. It picked itself up off the ground and turned itself sideways to squeeze through the gap. It then continued on its way with a spring in its step and a smile on whatever it had that passed for a face. Part 6. The mimic patiently awaited its prey. It sat there, unmoving. Although part of it wanted to get up and go, in the end it followed its hunting instinct and stood still. The ground in this area of the dungeon was fairly flat, but it was far from being smooth. Of particular concern was one nasty bump that seemed to dig into the creature's underside, causing it to remain slightly tilted to the side. This was more than a little uncomfortable. Physically, there was no pain, but standing slightly lopsided felt wrong. Unnatural. The fact that a chest could even feel discomfort in the first place was already unnatural enough to begin with, so it really had no room to complain. It could reposition itself to be more comfortable, but it was unwilling. At least, not right now. It was a very bad idea to be doing something like that with those heavy footsteps steadily approaching it. Five humans turned a corner and proceeded down the straight section of tunnel that the disguised monster was in. This particular stretch of cave was roomier than your average dungeon passage. It was 8 meters wide and just over 4 meters tall. It had plenty of space to allow two big parties of adventurers to pass by each other without worry. However, these five were definitely different from the newbies that frequented this part of the dungeon. Their equipment clearly set them apart. The one in front was a grizzled, middle-aged man. His torso was protected by a solid steel cuirass that glistened in the light from the lantern in his hand. His other hand was gripping a sturdy-looking wooden spear with a steel tip. Iron plates protected his shins and forearms. A simple iron helmet encompassed his scalp, with chainmail hanging from its rim like a curtain, covering the sides and back of his head. It rattled obnoxiously with each step, but it was something this man had long gotten used to. He was a guard, just like the four identically equipped people behind him. Although adventurers were common, they were still but a fraction of this world's population. Not everyone wished to go off and die in some hellhole while chasing a misguided thirst for adventure, gold, and glory. Many were content with simply accepting a weekly wage for mundane hard work and living out relatively peaceful lives while protected by sturdy walls. So why were these five peacekeepers in a dungeon where they clearly did not belong? Because they got word of strange noises coming from the direction of the sealed-off portion of the green zone. The mayor was a notorious cheapskate, so nobody in this armed detail was surprised he sent them rather than qualified adventurers to look after the bloody thing. Granted, all of these men were between level 10 and 12, so it's not like something in here was a real threat to them. But they still had to waste valuable time on something that was clearly just greenhorns getting scared at things that go bump in the dark. This was the third time this week they had to walk down this dank and musty cave just because some greenhorn raised a fuss. It would just be another giant rat that got stuck while trying to fit through the metal grate's gaps. After all, nothing in there could break that enchanted steel with brute force. The artisans who made it assured the mayor it would need to be attacked by something that was at least level 30. Anything weaker than a certain threshold wouldn't even leave a scratch on it. Therefore, this entire patrol was a pointless endeavor the mayor ordered just so he could save face. The recent string of disappearances was more than enough to make people question his so-called leadership, so something like putting on a pointless show of force came naturally. But still, these five got paid to follow orders, so they kept on marching. The mimic they were rapidly approaching was, simply put, scared shitless. The loose group of guards walking silently down the stone corridor gave off an extremely intimidating air. Running away was not an option. It would be immediately spotted and killed. Fighting was an even worse idea. Hiding had very little chance of success, but it was a chance nonetheless. So it hid. It remained looking like a perfectly unassuming and completely ordinary wooden chest, in some vague hope that it would be overlooked. The armed patrol approached the monster, unaware of what it was. The man in front gave the out-of-place box a sidelong glance before moving on. The next pair of guards did the same. The fourth one had a different idea. He mercilessly thrust his spear into it. It pierced the faux wood shell and drove deep into the monster. You have suffered a devastating blow. HP minus 53. You died. It died instantly, without even getting a chance to scream in pain. Its killer withdrew his spear all at once, causing yellow blood to splatter all over the floor.
Hey! Come on, man! Complained the man behind him. Why'd you do that? Now I have monster blood all over my trousers. My wife's gonna kill me.
Again, Roger!
Let out the man at the very front. He was peeking back at Roger over his shoulder.
You know full well killing that thing wasn't worth the trouble, right?
Yeah, I know my job won't go up much from these level ones and twos,
but at least my spear mastery is growing steadily," explained Roger.
He wasn't wrong. While jobs would progress very little if one picked on opponents much weaker than them, skill proficiency was another story. As long as one met certain conditions, their skills would steadily climb in power. Granted, it took more and more work to attain the higher levels, but mastery skills were easy to train. As long as one dealt damage to a living thing with the appropriate weapon or school of magic, the relevant mastery skill would go up. A difference in levels didn't matter in this scenario.
"Don't fuck with me," spat out the squad leader at the front. "I know full well you just like stomping on ants."
You got me there, Chief," shrugged Roger.
It was the truth. The excuse about his spear mastery was valid, but it was just that. An excuse. He was just a malicious prick and a natural bully. His squad leader scowled at the insubordinate subordinate.
"Whatever. Come on. Let's get this over with,"
he ordered. There was a time and place for discipline, and this was neither of them. They went on their way, forgetting about the dead mimic. The other mimic that was following them, however, would not forget. They had just murdered its kin in cold blood. Cold, tasty, nourishing blood. The half-spider, half-chest had been stalking them quietly for the last several minutes, looking for a chance to kill and eat them. At first, it was wondering if it could take them, or whether it should just let them be. However, it couldn't quite bring itself to turn around and seek easier prey. But that was then. This was now. And right now, it felt like it absolutely had to murder the shit out of them. Although it didn't particularly know or care for its dead kin, was there any living being that can stand idle after watching its kind slaughtered? Probably, but this wasn't one of them. The monster screwed up its determination and prepared to attack the patrol. Even if there were five of them, it was still a higher level. If it could take out a few of them before the rest could respond, then it would surely be able to clinch victory. It opened its mouth and spat out its long, thick tongue. This part of it was extremely dexterous and malleable, perfect for the shapeshift skill. The flat mass of flesh split into three separate tongues, connected at the base. It then accessed its storage and took out three plain swords, one in each tongue tentacle. It did not want to waste mana gobbling up all that worthless trash it left behind, so the only thing remaining in its pocket dimension was a curious dagger that was especially shiny. Now armed, the mimic activated its stealth skill and crept up on the patrol. It glided silently towards the still bickering pair of guards at the very back. Engrossed in their conversation about who was going to be on armor-scrubbing duty, they failed to realize the threat approaching them. The casual pace of their walk did not help matters much either, since it allowed their stalker to rapidly gain ground on them. Although the stealth skill drained its MP with every step, the monster still had more than enough to fulfill its purpose. Having gotten about half a meter behind them, the mimic reared up slightly on its imitation spider legs and raised two of its armed improvised tentacles into the air. Now that it was this close, it perceived a gap in their armor. A strip of sweat-stained underclothing was visible between the steel cuirass and the iron helmet, exposing the base of their necks and a bit of their shoulder. It angled the blades downwards and, after a momentary pause, thrust them accurately and smoothly into that opening. The twin blades dug into both guards' collarbones from above with very little resistance. Assassination skill triggered. Your attack has dealt 200% more damage. Target HP, -107. You have slain your target in a single strike. Assassination proficiency increased. Assassination skill triggered. Your attack has dealt 200% more damage. Target HP, -82. You have dealt a devastating blow. Target stunned for 5 seconds. Ignoring the familiar messages and even more familiar screams of pain, the mimic pulled on the two swords still lodged inside its victims. Continuing the downward stabbing motion, it used the power and momentum of that thrust to throw them both to the ground. The rest of the squad turned around immediately when they noticed their comrades yell out in pain.
The first thing they saw was two armored guards being thrown viciously against the stone ground. Their metal-clad backs made audible thuds as they smashed into the stone floor. In the next instant, a sword fell on the one on the right, likely Roger, stabbing him clean through the throat. The three men in front stared in mute horror as a trio of bloodied blades were retracted from the bodies of their friends. The weapons almost seemed to dance in the air for a moment. And then they noticed it. A creature like no other. It had the body of a simple treasure chest. Its lid had been opened to reveal numerous dagger-like teeth. If it was just this, they might assume it was a mimic. But this was nothing like the monster Roger had slain a minute ago. The wood-like surface was tattered, cracked, and splintered all over. It looked like someone had kicked this particular box down a very long flight of stairs. The various gaps and holes in it revealed a brown mass of slightly pulsating muscle underneath. Anyone who glanced at this appearance would immediately realize it was no simple chest. Well, it was still simple, but that's beside the point. Six long, slender legs jutted out from its undersides, completely mismatched with the main body. It was as if someone had glued a pig-sized spider's legs onto the monster as a sort of prank. But the way they made very slight, almost automatic adjustments to support its body were natural enough to make one think this monster was born with them. And worst of all, growing out of that tooth-filled abyss that passed for its maw were 3-meter-long tentacles. The bright red flesh undulated in a disgusting manner, the tips of each horrific limb gripping tightly onto the handle of a sword, the same weapons that had just robbed 2 men of their lives before they could even ask for help. They were attacked with no warning and for little reason. Only a monster could be this cruel. It yelled. Its putrid breath washed over the stunned humans, enhancing the surreal sight before them. The nightmarish creature began bearing down onto the closest guardsman while brandishing its trio of swords. The simple man who is used to scolding troublemaking kids or chasing pickpockets was frozen in terror. The worst thing he'd ever faced was a duo of armed bandits, but at least those were human. That situation was something he had trained and prepared for. The veritable storm of steel and teeth that was hurtling towards him was so bizarre that he doubted anyone could be prepared for something so absurd. He made a panicked attempt to ready his spear and ward off the assault, but the mimic was already upon him. The 3 blades made sharp sounds as they drew wide arcs in the air. Having to split the muscles of its tongue in 3 made each of the mimic's blows significantly weaker than they would be otherwise. The fact that it was slashing rather than stabbing meant that its dexterity attribute was not helping right now either. However, it was using 3 weapons instead of 1. The sheer number of blows it could make meant it could deal out a steady stream of punishment that whittled down and exhausted its prey without giving it any room to breathe. The 3 swords struck the guard simultaneously from all sides. The lower one cut open the man's thigh, dealing 25 damage to his HP. The middle blow dug into his unarmored bicep, dealing 23 damage. The high blow bounced off the rim of his metal helmet. Although the armor deflected the worst of it, the force of the blow still robbed 9 of his HP due to the blunt trauma. He yelled out in pain, stumbled backwards, and fell on his ass. His weapon fell out of his hands and clattered on the rocky ground. He had 44 HP remaining and was bleeding profusely from his leg. But he was still alive. His 2 comrades were already rushing to his aid, spears at the ready. They both thrust their 2-meter-long weapons at the monster. It tried to back off, but was too slow. One of them stabbed it in the side, shaving off 34 of the monster's HP. It screamed in pain and leaped backwards to avoid further injury. The mimic had still not recovered from its earlier storage mishap, so it was in a precarious position. It currently only had about 40% of its HP remaining. It could not afford to be wounded again. It had seen the destructive power of those long, pointy things earlier, but feeling it firsthand on its own body woke it up. The monster may have bitten off more than it could chew. It stretched out its tentacles and attempted to strike at the 2 men, but the difference in reach became instantly apparent. Its sword swings came nowhere near the 2 guards, while their spears threatened to skewer it at a moment's notice. If anything, it was being pushed back, suffering several scratches on its tongues as a result. The monster had clearly underestimated its opponents, and while those 2 were keeping it busy, The one on the ground had already taken out a small glass flask with a blood-red liquid. The wounded guard sprinkled half of the healing potion on his wounds and drank the rest. The mimic recognized this pattern. Adventurers that failed to finish off would sometimes do those things and recover miraculously from their injuries. The mimic then had to suffer numerous wounds as it subdued its target with force. So, to sum it up, the monster realized one simple fact. It was fucked. The two in front of it were obviously covering for their wounded comrade. When he stood up, they would undoubtedly chase down the creature and end it. It had killed their kind, so they would unquestionably seek vengeance. After all, that sort of thing was what more or less started this encounter in the first place. But the mimic had a secret weapon, a special move that could fell even that seemingly impossible wall it encountered earlier. It made some more space between itself and its duo of opponents, drawing them a few steps further away from the third one. It then swung one of its tendrils around and haphazardly tossed one of its swords with all the strength it could muster. From the monster's perspective, it was that half-assed shield throw that toppled the steel grate. And this time it was using an actual weapon with all its strength, so this move's destructive power would unquestionably rise. Well, it wasn't wrong about that last part, but the outcome would still not be what it expected. The sword spun around itself a few times as it cut through the air. It missed its targets completely, bouncing off the stone ceiling with a clang and falling harmlessly to the side. The result of the monster's killer move was that it had, essentially, disarmed itself. There was a brief moment of silence as everyone present processed what just happened.
"Ha!"
it cursed. In some ways, the mimic was lucky its antics were not considered to be special actions that conferred a loss of attributes. Otherwise, its intelligence and wisdom would already be dropping towards zero. Possibly beyond. Having been disarmed by its own stupidity, the mimic was left in an unquestionably weaker position. It was barely able to fend off two spears with its three swords, so the idea of facing three spears with only two blades was not a pleasant one. It made a few unsteady steps backward, unsure of what to do. Should it run away and live to fight another day? Was that really an option? Even if it ran away, would it find food? Would these people let it escape in the first place? Why was there a stone that looked a little bit like a rat's head on the ground? Come to think of it, why were there no other monsters around? And why was it suddenly asking itself these various questions in the first place? None of that pondering was getting it any closer to not being dead. There was still some distance between it and the guards, but they seemed wary of approaching it. They were obviously waiting for their buddy to get back in the fight, and by the looks of things, that moment would be here soon. The mimic needed to fight back, but to do that, it needed a new weapon. Luckily, there were two armed corpses under its feet, and the dead were extremely generous with their belongings. It reached down its free tentacle and coiled it around one of the spears. Actually, there was another one. So it was fine if it tried its killer move again, right? That first attempt was probably a fluke. Besides, it looked like an oversized arrow. And arrows flew really, really well. Something this monster had learned with its own body when it failed to properly ambush that ranger about a month ago. And so, about a second after obtaining its new acquisition, the mimic threw it forward with all its might. The spear, unlike the sword, was indeed a weapon that could be thrown. It cut through the air at a speed that was hard for the human eye to track, especially in these dim conditions. But much like the first attempt, it missed both guards, flying between them without leaving so much as a scratch.
"Ha!"
the monster yelled. But rather than the sound of metal uselessly hitting on stone, what was heard next was a piercing yell. Screamed the third living guard on the scene. His two comrades unwittingly turned their heads around. The wounded man was still struggling to his feet when the errant spear had managed to hit him. It impaled him squarely in the groin, just below the edge of his steel cuirass. He was screaming and thrashing around on the ground in a pain that seemed to resonate with every male in that tunnel. A special action has been performed. Luck plus one. Ignoring that seemingly random attribute increase, the mimic quickly lunged at the two guards.
Their attention had shifted and their hands had stopped. If there was ever a chance to turn things around, it would be now. It dashed in between their outstretched spears and thrust both of its swords forward. The dumbfounded guards turned their heads around just in time to get stabbed in the face. You have dealt a critical strike. Target HP, -78. You have dealt a devastating blow. Target stunned for 5 seconds. You have dealt a critical strike. Target HP, -79. You have dealt a devastating blow. Target stunned for 5 seconds. Proficiency level increased. Sword mastery is now level 5. Strength plus 2. Dexterity plus 2. It was checkmate. Or rather, it would be if there were any strategy or planning involved. It was a miracle that the two men did not die on the spot after having the backs of their throats pierced clean through. The mimic promptly withdrew its blades and slashed at their faces, achieving what was colloquially known as a double kill. It then methodically moved in on the final guard and finished him off while he was still writhing on the ground. A triumphant screech resounded through the dungeon. The mimic was overcome with the thrill of winning a hard battle for the first time in its life. While it did sometimes fail to ambush its prey, the ensuing scuffle would be little more than an annoyance for the overleveled monster. If there was ever a time for it to express its joy of victory through the language of dance, it was now. It wasn't skill or strategy that won the day. It was its own idiocy. The unpredictable and erratic behavior it displayed caught its enemy by surprise on more than one occasion. The creature simply had to recognize its opportunity to act and seize it. It may not be very good at thinking things through, but the mimic's mind was already a steel trap when it came to taking advantage of a moment of weakness. Trickery, cowardice, honor. It knew not of such things. It knew of very few things, to be honest. Even if it did know about such trivialities, it would still ignore them since they would not fill its belly, and filling its belly is exactly what it needed to do right now. So, without further ado, it proceeded to chow down on the 5 corpses in front of it. It started with the last one to die, the one it had impaled in the groin through sheer luck. It pulled out the spear and began eating the corpse feet first. It bit off its legs and, after spitting out the troublesome metal greaves, swallowed gleefully. It repeated the process with the arms and head, discarding the inedible armor along the way. But the torso was difficult. It was still encased in that solid steel cuirass, so getting at it was impossible. Its teeth still could not penetrate steel, after all. It left the still-armored and blood-covered torso alone and moved on to the other corpses, focusing on their limbs and heads in a similar fashion. Your hunger has been sated. Automatic HP and MP recovery will return to normal. When it was in the middle of devouring the 5th set of body parts, it finally got confirmation it was no longer starving. It felt relief wash over it. It wasn't sure how much it actually needed to eat before the hunger went away completely. Still, leaving behind those succulent torsos would be a terrible waste. While it wasn't particularly picky about its food, the mimic had preferences. It found the intestines to be the tastiest part of the human body. The head was a close runner-up. The brain felt kind of bland, but the skull made pleasurable crunching noises when its teeth sank into it. It was simply fun to chew. The heart was 3rd on its list just because of how wonderfully squishy it was. The succulent rump and thigh meat were also good, but those seemed to vary quite a bit between people. Some were stringy and tough, while others were far more tender. The point was, 2 of its 3 favorite bits were in the torso. It really wanted to get at them. So now that it was no longer in a rush, it set about trying to eat them. First, it retrieved the sword it had sent flying earlier. It then approached one of the dismembered torsos and used the blade to poke and prod at the armor. After stabbing at it from several angles, it found it could cut apart some leather straps on the side, under where the arms used to be. When it did that, the front and back plates of the armor seemed to come apart. The mimic then lifted the steel plating to reveal the succulent meat and crunchy bones it longed for. It was almost like opening up a steamed clam. Only many times more gruesome. Within the horrible gnashing and crunching noises, There was the barely audible sound of glass breaking and a mysterious liquid poured out and onto the monster's sensitive tongue. You have used a healing potion. HP plus 40. It tasted like cherries, though such a detail was lost on this monster that had never tasted the fruit in question. Or, indeed, anything other than man flesh until just now. The magical liquid dissipated and instantly closed up the mimic's gaping stab wound. Ironically, the one who caused that wound was the one to supply the potion to heal it. Not that the mimic really cared. It barely even noticed what was going on with how engrossed it was in eating its fill. No. Wasn't this already beyond its fill? Its hunger had been sated for the moment, but it might come back later. Or rather, wouldn't it definitely come back eventually? Surely it would be a good idea to put the remaining body oysters in its storage rather than eating them right now, right? It didn't know how long the corpses would keep for, but it was worth a try. Therefore, the mimic planned ahead for the first time in its life and saved the remaining two bloodied torsos for later. Well, it would have saved four of them, but it had already eaten two more by the time it made up its mind. It was honestly a miracle it even reached the obvious conclusion it should ration its food in the first place. So while the execution may have been less than perfect, there was still definite improvement in its mental abilities. Once its business in that blood-soaked tunnel was done, the mimic relocated to the spot where its kin had died earlier. Its corpse had already disappeared back into the flow of mana from whence it came. The mimic sat down on a spot nearby and entered its dormant state. It was still heavily wounded, so it needed to wait until its automatic HP recovery restored it to good health. Over the next 10 or so minutes, the battered, splintered faux wood that served as its outer shell slowly grew back to its pristine state. Once its HP and MP were both completely topped off, the mimic stood up and resumed walking. At some point, it had convinced itself that leaving this place behind was for the best, so there was no point in delaying its departure any longer. And thanks to its connection with the dungeon's mana, it already knew which way the exit was. After walking around for several minutes, it noticed the tight and claustrophobic tunnels were getting wider and wider. It could actually feel a cold breeze coming in from what was undoubtedly the outside. Feeling invigorated, it picked up the pace, its slender spider-like legs carrying it steadily onward. The walls grew wider and the ceiling became taller and taller. Eventually, it could not see anything except the floor around it. All other surfaces were simply outside the 10-meter range of its magical perception. This was a first for it. It was a strange sensation where it felt truly insignificant. But it still marched onward. As long as it had its connection to the mana in the air, it would know exactly where... You have left the Lidigar dungeon complex. Your connection with the dungeon has been severed. It froze. Something immediately felt off. Wrong. For one thing, it suddenly realized it was lost. Completely and totally lost. It no longer had any idea where it was, nor which way it was going. It wandered around aimlessly, without having a single way to tell if it was going in the right direction. After a few minutes of this, it seemed to have found its way back. You have entered the Lidigar dungeon complex. Even if it returned, however, the invisible thread that made it the dungeon's ally was now permanently severed. It was now no longer a part of this place. It may have felt an odd desire to go back at first, but that was rapidly changing now. To monsters in a dungeon, there were no gray areas. You were either an enemy or an ally. And as it was right now, this mimic was undoubtedly an enemy to this place. Now it no longer found the thought of eating those giant rats and bats to be repulsive. It even felt like it could easily murder its own kin without any remorse. The monster understood the meaning behind these implications. It caught on so fast that it actually surprised itself. Could it be that it was a genius all along? Something had changed. It could form a coherent stream of thoughts for the first time in its life, almost as if a fog was lifted from its mind. The truth of the matter was that while the mana was guiding and nourishing it, it was also robbing it of its free will. That innate compulsion to leave the dungeon? It was being chased out by the very stuff that gave it life. The reason why it had to face a squad of armed guards instead of running away at full strength when the odds were against it? They were invaders that the dungeon wanted dead. No wonder, it thought. Even though it recognized itself as an idiot, it couldn't take any steps to rectify that flaw. Now it was different. Now it was free. It was also scared out of its tiny mind, but it was free. And armed with this freedom, it decided to seek out its own path in life. Maybe come back later and show this dungeon who's boss. But before that, it had to leave. The range of its perception was a problem. It was like being lost at sea with no landmarks and no compass. If the rest of the world was normally this wide, then it needed other ways of finding its way around the place. Thankfully, it already had a pretty good idea what to do. It was obvious its prey did not have the same magical perception the mimic had. Otherwise, sneaking up on people would be impossible. And through its numerous scuffles in that one battle, it learned the importance and function of a particular pair of organs. So all it needed to do was replicate them. And it was really good at that sort of thing. Mimics got a mimic. It was a fact of life. It quickly grew an eye on the outside of its faux wood frame. It had eaten close to 100 eyeballs. Most of them had rolled across its tongue at some point. So something like recreating an organ it was intimately familiar with was not a big deal. Just like with the spider legs. Although it still needed to morph and readjust the structure of the eye. After about half an hour of trying, it succeeded. It could see. Finally, it was capable of actual sight with its very own eye. But because it was essentially a human eye, it could not see very well in this darkness. Still, it immediately proved useful when it spotted a group of lights coming towards it. It was an adventuring party of 4 people, all wearing lit lanterns on their waists. They were some 40-odd meters away from the mimic. By the looks of things, they were headed deeper into the dungeon and would walk right past it. However, the monster felt no rush or thrill at the discovery of new prey. It no longer had to compulsively hunt and murder people just for being in this dungeon. It only felt a cold kind of indifference one would show to a stray animal. A tasty, blood-filled, succulent, crunchy animal with delicious guts and... Okay, it would attack and eat them after all. But not because of some weird magical compulsion. This time, it chose to murder those people in cold blood by its own will. It still had to fill its belly, so why turn down free food that willingly comes to you? Actually, why even wait? Those people were dressed almost exactly like its first 40 victims. If it could take 5 armed guards, then these weaklings would surely be no match for it. It sprouted its spider legs, armed its trio of tongue tentacles, and descended upon them like death incarnate. This wasn't an instinctual drive to eat and live, nor was it the dungeon's mind control. It would kill because it wanted to, with no warning and for almost no reason. Just like any other monster would. General information. Mimic, lesser. Genderless, 2 months old. Level 15 mimic, 264 out of 264 HP, plus 0.4 per second. 175 out of 175 MP, plus 0.3 per second. Attributes. Strength, 44. Dexterity, 48. Agility, 36. Endurance, 44. Intelligence, 35. Wisdom, 39. Luck, 4. Mimic skills. Assassination, level 4. Storage, level 3. Cadaver absorption, level 1. Other skills. Shapeshift, level 3. Stealth, level 3. Sword mastery, level 5. Chapter 2. Eat and Grow. Part 1. The sword made a sharp sound as it fell on the neck of the last adventurer. The blade cut halfway through the black-haired man's neck, ending his life in an instant. His killer, a mimic that had just found its freedom, went about its business. Even though it had just robbed this man and three of his friends of their lives, it did not have the capacity to care. It gave absolutely no shits about whatever it was they were screaming about as it mercilessly reaped their souls. If anyone were to witness this, they would undoubtedly assume only a being incapable of emotion was capable of such cold cruelty. But that assumption would be untrue. In fact, the mimic did feel something from this encounter. A distinct sense of happiness, that is. This was a perfect opportunity to finally try out its latest skill, cadaver absorption. It had already wasted its first opportunity due to its own foolishness. It couldn't use it on those guard corpses since it lacked the MP and needed to satiate its hunger to recover it. And while it did still carry certain bits of those men inside its storage, there obviously was not enough of them left to constitute a corpse. But now, it would finally give this thing a try. Its first choice was the bow user, the one who tried to shoot arrows at the monster as it approached. She was particularly annoying, and managed to shave off a total of 34 HP from it. Well, it wasn't like it didn't expect to get some scratches in a frontal assault like that, so it wasn't too bothered by them. It sat down next to the woman and chanted,
"Kadaha! Assassin!"
Nothing happened.
"Kadaha! Assassin!"
it repeated. And again, nothing happened. This was worrying. Unlike its storage, which could be activated without chanting, cadaver absorption required one to speak the name of the skill out loud while focusing on the corpse. That was just how it worked. Or at least, how it was supposed to work. Learning a new skill gave one the basic knowledge regarding its use, so there was no doubt this was the right way to activate it. In fact, the mimic could recall how to use its skills flawlessly, which was a bit odd in itself, all things considered. Still, it decided to double-check. After all, the information it wanted was just a couple of thoughts away. Cadaver absorption allows the mimic to absorb residual knowledge and power from the remains of its prey. Requirements: Level 15 mimic, Wisdom 30, Intelligence 30, has devoured at least 30 of the same species. Type: Active, Corpse targeted. Activation time: 2 seconds. Cost: 150 MP. Range: 2 meters. Effects: A portion of the target's attributes, skill proficiency, or job levels will be permanently added to the mimic's status. What is absorbed is random. The skill can fail. Success rate depends on the level of the skill and the strength of the luck attribute. The amount of knowledge or power absorbed increases with each level of the shapeshift skill. It examined the skill window once more. The activation time referred to how much time the skill would take to fulfill its purpose and produce the desired effect. However, that was supposed to come after the monster had started the process by chanting the name. Since absolutely nothing happened in the first place, this particular aspect of it was clearly not the problem. Its MP was currently full at 170, so the cost wasn't the issue either. As for the range, it wasn't sure exactly how far 2 meters was. Was it too far away? Maybe that was the issue? It certainly wouldn't hurt to try. The chest sprouted its legs and sat right next to the body. This was probably within range, right?
Kadaha! Assassin!
Nope. Nothing. Then, maybe it was misunderstanding what corpse targeted meant? Maybe this woman was far too skinny to count as a dead body? That was certainly a possibility. She was basically skin and bones, except for two soft-looking lumps in the middle of her torso. Were they nutrient repositories, perhaps? The mimic vaguely remembered that black-robed woman it killed shortly before acquiring this troublesome skill. She had some big ones, too, but it had a hard time determining what purpose these things served, if any.
Ah!
It yelped. No good. It was getting distracted. It needed more information. Ah, but information regarding skills was usually a thought away, so maybe it just needed the right thought? It focused its mind on the corpse-targeted term in the still-open skill window. About a second later, a different screen popped up. Corpse-targeted. Requires a corpse. The corpse's original brain, or brains, and heart, or hearts, must be present to establish it as a viable target. Missing limbs or body parts will reduce the strength of the generated effect. Now it was getting somewhere. So the skill needed both the brain and the heart to function and needed all of the body's bits to produce the best result. If the heart was that juicy thing in the chest and the brain was that mushy, bland-tasting thing inside the crunchy skull, then that would explain why the skill failed to activate. The mimic got up and walked off toward the wall. It stretched out its tongue and grabbed the bloodied, pointy-eared head that had been sitting there for a while. It dragged it along the ground by its long, platinum-blonde hair. Resisting the urge to pop it in its mouth, it walked back to the woman and placed it squarely on her chest. It let out a long breath that was probably intended to be a sigh. If it knew the head had to be attached, it wouldn't have bothered to remove it from the rest of her in the first place. Then again, it was slightly unintentional. Her neck was entirely too slender, so the monster's sword strike cut clean through it. That black-haired guy it killed last seemed to be made of much sterner stuff since his neck actually offered some resistance. So, now that all the parts were accounted for, it sat right next to the body and repeated the chant for the third... No, fourth? Or fifth? It sat down and repeated the chant.
Kadaha! Assassin!
Now, something definitely happened. It actually felt the majority of its MP disappear in an instant and leaving it in a tired, somewhat lethargic state. About a dozen or so transparent purple tentacles sprouted from its narrow sides, each of them about 2 meters in length. These mysteriously glowing appendages looked like they weren't actually there, like the mimic was seeing only an outline of their true form. Ignoring its idle wonderment, the appendages immediately bent towards their target and skewered it in multiple places. The soft, pink skin quickly shriveled up as the corpse rapidly became nothing but skin and bones. The mimic noticed unidentifiable gray goop rapidly move up each of the 12 undulating tentacles and disappear somewhere inside its body. Precisely 2 seconds after the monster finished the chant, the tentacles retracted inside itself, dragging the rest of that colorless mass with them. Your cadaver absorption was a minor success. 6% of the target's highest attribute has been added to your own. Agility plus 1.
Yes, sir!
It worked. The mimic didn't get much out of it, but it definitely worked. A new way of growing stronger. Ah, but it didn't get to actually eat any of that. The simple creature's excitement level quickly fell down to 0 when it realized that. It wanted to strip the flesh, rip the meat, and crush the bones. Not liquefy and drink it all without even tasting it. Where was the fun in that? The gluttonous monster took one more look at the corpse. All that was left of the former elven ranger was a skeleton wrapped in gray, chalk-like skin. It seemed to crumble into nothing under the weight of her clothing. Even the severed head was left as nothing but a skull with a few patches of skin and several strands of gray hair. Oddly enough, there was no hole in it, even though 2 of the tentacles most assuredly pierced it from both sides. This looked completely unappetizing. Was there even a point in eating these dried-out remains? Actual dirt would probably be more nourishing than this pile of ash. Still, it was a way of using corpses for something other than pigging out. That was definitely a good thing. Even if it had a shortage of dead bodies, all it had to do was find something it could kill and bam. Problem solved. Feeling better about the whole people have no taste when I drink them situation, the mimic went over to the next corpse, a bearded, bald man in a chainmail shirt. It sat next to him and waited patiently for its MP to recover. Since it already saw the skill in action, it now had a good grasp of the range. It simply needed to be close enough for those ethereal tentacles to reach the corpse. Roughly 10 minutes later, its MP had gone back to full.
Kadaha! Assassin!
It chanted, and the tentacles happily liquefied and drank up the former warrior. Your cadaver absorption has failed.
Nyeh.
It shrugged. It's not like it expected it to work every time. It had already given up on chowing down on these people, so it just went through the motions. Since this skill targeted only living tissue, any gear and equipment the adventurers were using was left behind. The elf from before just had a tunic, a pair of trousers, a bow and some arrows and a quiver. This guy, however, had a sword and shield. It was the first time the mimic had given someone a chance to use their shield. The wooden, iron-reinforced disc had managed to deflect two of the monster's swords. The third one ran the warrior through the chest while he was off balance, killing him instantly. Still, it was a relatively impressive display that piqued the mimic's curiosity. Wearing armor was out of the question, but its tri-tongue could easily intercept and deflect attacks with this sturdy 30-centimeter-wide circle. After some practice, of course. Also, it could probably double as a weapon. One such shield was responsible for knocking a hole through that infuriating steel grate, after all. It was an attractive idea, to be certain. Having made up its mind, the creature tossed the warrior's sword and shield into its storage for safekeeping and walked over to the third corpse. 10 minutes and another chant later, the gray-haired priest was also slurped up. Your cadaver absorption has failed. Proficiency level increased. Cadaver absorption is now level 2. All attributes plus 1. The skill up was good. The failure, not so much. Still, a higher level of cadaver absorption meant a better chance of gaining something useful. The mimic would have to train this up as much as possible so that it would be ready the next time it caught something big. But how much of a chance did it actually have? Was there a way to find out? Would it even comprehend?